for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday afternoon service on December the 30th, 1988. Tape number 17 of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the teacher for the afternoon.
Father, again today, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the word we heard this morning. It was a pure word. And Lord, I pray, let it be a pure word this afternoon, Lord, and open our hearts to receive it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Let's turn today to Acts chapter 1. Jack said it's time to get back to the basics, so let's get into some basics. Amen. Acts chapter 1. I'd like to share maybe end time truths, but I think we need to go into some of these things today that God has put on my heart. Acts 1 and verse 8. And the scripture says, but ye shall receive what?
Power
after, and that's a key, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we know the Holy Ghost is real today. And ye shall be witnesses or martyrs, actually is what that word means. And we know we're to die to ourselves. Unto me, unto him, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, how many know before you can go into all the earth, you've got to conquer Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria? There are three princes there you've got to overcome before you can be thrust way out there. And I've seen people go way out there and get hurt. They were not prepared and ready for that. Amen? Now, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. That is an experience. How many know we need an experience today? We need a fresh experience of the Holy Ghost, don't we? And then he said, notice, he said we would do something, would receive this power and yet be witnesses unto him, which is an expression. And then he said it would be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and of course the rest of the world, which speaks of an expansion. We need an experience. We need an expression, and we need an expansion in God. Praise the Lord. Somebody has described the anointing as something that listeners can tell when speakers don't have it. Well, I can believe it. It's not how loud we get, of course. I mean, old loudness has nothing to do with the anointing. Although it seems you do raise your voice sometimes when you are anointed. But it brings that divine plus into one's life. It's the breath of the Spirit upon the individual of all that one says and does, you see. It puts authority and power into actions and words of the individual that's speaking, that's coming under that anointing. Now, turn to Luke. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, and let's look at a scripture here together on this anointing. And, of course, we know the Lord gave this scripture before Pentecost, but whether it's before or after, we still need an experience with the Holy Ghost. Luke 24, verse 47, Jesus said repentance and remission of sins would begin in Jerusalem. And then verse 48 again, he said, you're my witnesses. You are witnesses, rather, of these things. Verse 49, here's what Jesus said. Behold, I send what? The promise of my Father upon you. Notice, upon you. And tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I mean, no, that means to be clothed upon from on high. But it also means like sinking into a garment. I mean, believe the Lord is our covering today. Yes, we're to put on Christ, aren't we? We're not only to, you let Christ come in us, of course, we're to move in Him. But it means sinking into a garment. It means to be arrayed or to be clothed with. Or it means to put on something. Put on the new man. Come on, help me. And put off what?
The old man. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's the covering of the Lord. Now, let's look at this covering. Turn to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 1. And let's see here. Now, we hear a lot about coverings today, but there's some I've heard I don't care for them to cover me at all. I want the Lord to cover me, mainly. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. Now, they're listening to somebody, God says, but not of me. But not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. And what will what's the result? They may add sin to sin. And they go down into Egypt without the proper covering. How many know we'll go into the world? Now, look in Isaiah 4. Let's look at this covering, Isaiah 4. There, please. Isaiah 4. Look at verse 5 and 6. We're dealing, I believe, with end time truths here, but look especially in verse 5. And God's cleaning the church up with the spirit of burning and judgment, isn't he? But look in verse 5. And the Lord will do something. He will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Well, first of all, how many know we're a dwelling place? Amen. And yet he says, notice, and upon her assemblies. That's the local churches. Hallelujah. How many know this is an assembly here today? Amen. Upon her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day. I've seen that smoke come into a meeting and just fill the room. A cloud and smoke by day, and notice the shining of a flaming fire by night. How many like to see the fire as well? And notice, now look at this, for upon all the glory shall be a what? And that means a canopy or a covering. Hallelujah. And then notice verse 6. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert, and that word covert means covering, from what? The storm and the rain. Hallelujah. So, brethren, we need under the covering of the Lord, don't we? We need to be in the assembly where God places us. Can you say amen? Amen. There is a canopy and there is a covering, a protection when you're placed by God. Now, look over in Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, praise the Lord. Verse 3 and 4, I believe it is. Isaiah 25, verses 3 and 4. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. Who's thee? It's the Lord, isn't it? So who's going to glorify the Lord? The strong people. I mean, Joel said there was an army coming forth, a strong people. There's never been the like.
Amen.
And so God's strong people's going to glorify him. The city of the terrible nation shall fear thee.
Hallelujah.
Now look at verse 4. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from what? The storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. So we can see here, we're dealing again with the covering. Praise the Lord. Now, turn with me to another scripture. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 10, I believe it is. Chapter 10. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10, verse 27, I think it is. And we're going to show you in a minute only God can anoint us. How many believe that? 10:27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden, talking about the Assyrian here, shall be taken from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of something. Because of the anointing. Hallelujah. How many's got some yoke still you need to be broken, brother? All of us do. And only God's anointing can break that yoke from off our neck. Amen? From off of you and from off of me. Praise be unto God. Now, let's go see that God is the one that anoints. Go to Acts chapter 10. Look at a familiar scripture probably all of us know, but let's look at it. I taught a lesson one time in Hutchinson, Kansas on this verse and broke it down and taught every word in it. But I won't do that today. 10:38. Notice what it says. How God, that's God the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing something good. How many know when you're anointed, you're going to do some good? Hallelujah. He went about doing good and healing all. How many know that Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit? Amen. We receive what? The earnest, the down payment, the foretaste, and the pledge, and first fruits. How many believe there's a fullness coming, brethren? Oh, hallelujah. Now, we thank God for the holy place, the gifts of the Spirit, the school of the Spirit. And we've got to go through that holy place to come into the Holy of Holies. But there's a greater realm than the holy place. Isn't that right? But how many know you can't get to that other till you come through that holy place and learn that realm? Praise God. That's that part realm. But he said, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Praise God. And God wants to anoint you and me today. Hallelujah. And he wants to send us forth as well. Isn't that right? I mean, know the pattern. Jesus went before us. Hallelujah. And as that anointing comes upon you and within us, we can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed. Those that are oppressed can be delivered and set free, because God is with us too, isn't he? Yeah. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Acts 4. Acts 4. No more. Acts 4:26. Look at verse 26. It says, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's the anointed one, the Messiah. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast what? Anointed. Praise God. Whom thou hast anointed. Then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I hope you got quick fingers here now. Praise the Lord. And verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us.
Hallelujah.
And how many know the more you claim the promises of God, the more you're going to bring glory to God?
Yeah.
And the less we do it, the less we'll bring glory to God. But all the promises are in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. Verse 21. Now he which will establish us with you is in Christ, and hath anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the down payment, of the Spirit in our what? In our hearts. Now look at this verse here. We are established, of course, are strengthened in Christ. Amen? We're anointed by God, and we're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God he is strengthening us. He is establishing us today in Christ. Can you say amen? And we're being, brethren, anointed by our God if we're following on to know the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is sealing you and sealing me. How many know we've got to be sealed in this hour? We've got to take on the final sealing before the judgment and the destruction that's coming is coming in certain places. Praise the Lord. So we can see that. Hallelujah. Now, we know the anointer is God the Father. We know the anointed one is Jesus, the Son of God. And we know the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Or said this way, the anointing in the Old Testament was men like Samuel and Elijah. The anointed one would be men like David and others, and like Elisha was anointed. And, of course, the anointing was the anointing oil that was put together and used to anoint the people. Now, look in Psalms 92. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 92:10, and let's look at this oil a minute in some scriptures here. Psalms 92:10. I've got a lot to say if I can get it out. Hallelujah. Listen to what David said. He said, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Now, I understand that word unicorn means a wild ox. Now, I can be corrected on that, but anyway. And he said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now, how would you like to be in a stall with a wild ox that wants to tear everything down? Well, how many know when you get this anointing in you and up on you, you're not the same. Isn't that right, Jack? You'll do things you would never normally do. You'll prophesy. You might run around the building. You'll shout. I mean, you may weep, whatever. You may be still. But you'll be different. Amen. And so David says here, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. We need fresh bread, but we need some fresh oil, don't we, brethren? Hallelujah. We need a fresh anointing from God, from the throne of God. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, brethren, I like to pray in tongues, but I want a fresh visitation in this hour. Do you? I want to be in that move of God that's coming. Hallelujah. It's going to surpass all that's ever been. Praise the Lord. I want to be in this army, don't you? And I knew a man that had a vision, and he saw this army, and he saw the number of the army just in America, and it was 400 and some thousand. Now, I'm not just talking about people saved. I'm talking about people in this army. Now, God knows who all that's saved and not saved, but I want to be in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's going to march together. Amen. Not thrust one another through and march under the drumbeat of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. They're going to march into battle by the Spirit, not in the flesh. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we can see here that David desires this fresh oil. And I desire that fresh oil. Now look at 89th chapter. Here it's talking about the Lord, but I want to bring it down to where you and I live. How many know, again, He's the pattern, right? Psalms 89, look at verse 19. It says, verse 19, then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One. How many know He's the Holy One today? And saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Glory to God. How many believe He's mighty too? I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Well, he's exalted,
hallelujah.
He's chosen, and he is all. Hallelujah. Verse 20, I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Now, I believe this is prophetic, and yet we know David himself was anointed. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I mean, David was anointed three times. Samuel took the horn of oil. I mean, he didn't anoint David with a vial of oil. It was a horn of oil. It was a ram's horn, which means there had to be a death in order to use that horn to anoint David. And how many know, without the death of Jesus, we would not have this anointing. By His blood, we have the anointing today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. David was anointed. First anointing was the anointing of promise to be king. The second anointing was the anointing of power, with praise. He was anointed 7.5 years, I believe it was, over the house of Judah. And then he was anointed the third time. It's the anointing of power. Praise be unto God. Under that first anointing, David did five things, at least that comes to me. Number one, David ministered to the king. Hallelujah. That's King Saul. How many know we're to minister to our king when we get anointed?
Yes.
Number two, David went back to his occupation. He went back to the sheep in the wilderness. And I want to tell you, brethren, just because we're filled with the Holy Ghost, it doesn't mean we're ready to go out anywhere. We need to wait upon God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He went back to his occupation, didn't he? Praise the Lord. And we know he killed one giant under that anointing. And then he'd come under criticism of his brethren. You get this holy oil, you get anointed of God, and God begins to use you, and you will be criticized. But how many know God can take you right through it? Hallelujah. And number five, he went into the wilderness and was tested and tempted, of course, and fled for his life. That was under the first anointing. And when he came under the third anointing, it says all the Philistines came out against him. I mean, he destroyed the enemy of the Philistines, which means to roll in the dust or to wallow in the dust. And yet, when he took under that third anointing, the Bible said he took the strongholds of Zion. Hallelujah. You want to come to Zion? I mean, we've got to come into a heavier anointing. We've got to come in under that third anointing. Amen. Come on, help me now. 30, 60, 100. Yes, amen. Now, right here, it said, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Praise God. First of all, I believe we're talking about Jesus. And yet, let's bring it down to where we live. Look at verse 21, what this anointing will do. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm shall also strengthen him. So, number one, this anointing will bring divine strength into your life. Hallelujah. How many need to be strengthened today in your life? Amen? We all do, don't we? That anointing, a touch of that anointing, can raise you up. Glory be to God. How many ever come into the service and you was down and you was tired and didn't feel like worshiping the Lord? And God touched you, hallelujah, and lifted you right up. Amen? Praise be unto God. Yes, He has. Now, So number one, you will be strengthened by this anointing. Verse 22. Notice in verse 22, he said, the enemy shall not exact upon him or bring harm, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Praise God. No harm or affliction, he says there. Verse 23. Notice verse 23, what's going to happen under this anointing. I will beat down his foes. Anybody want to see that happen?
Yes, sir.
We got some foes tonight, don't we? Hallelujah. I will beat down his foes before his face. He'll see it. His anointed one will see it. And plague them that what? Hate him. Praise God. So God said, I'm going to beat your foes down. Verse 24. Look at verse 24 now. But by my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name or nature shall his horn be exalted. Praise God. He's going to have some authority, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen? He's going to have power and dominion. But notice what God says there in verse 24. I'm going to give him my faithfulness and my mercy.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And yet he will have authority. Now look at verse 25. He'll have an influence in the lives of the nations. And I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. So he'll have an influence in the nations. And then that's evangelism, isn't it? Hallelujah. Verse 26 through 28 now. Notice this. 26 through 28. God's mercy is going to be upon him. Of course, there's more things here. He shall cry unto me, and thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my what?
Firstborn.
Firstborn. How many believe Jesus is the firstborn among what?
Many
brethren. Higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy, here it is, will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Then verse 29, this includes you and I, and yet it can include our children and our seed. Verse 29, God's going to bless your seed because of that anointing. How many believe that? Verse 29, his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Praise be unto God. So, that's the blessing of the anointing. Now, turn to Zechariah 4. We're looking towards the end of the age here in this scripture. Zechariah chapter 4. And verse 10, and before we look at verse 10, go back to chapter 4, verse 6. You'll notice he said in verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, Zechariah 4, 6, this is the word. Everybody say that. This is the word, notice, of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, help me now, come on, let's say it, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice, the Word and the Spirit. How many know that's our balance today?
Amen.
A false balance, the Bible said, is an abomination to the Lord.
Yes.
We need the Word and we need the moving of the Spirit, don't we? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is God's balance. Now, look down to verse 10. He said, who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, with those seven. How many, we're talking about seven eyes here. Now we're talking about perfection. We're talking about fullness and so forth. They are the what? Eyes of the Lord. Now look at this. Which run to and fro through the whole earth. How many know Revelation talks about that? Now look at verse 11. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees up on the right side of the candlestick? How many know the candlestick represents the church? Up on the right side of the candlestick and up on the left side, see, of the candlestick. Now, we see, and notice verse 12, and I answered again and said to him, what are these two olive branches which through, everybody say through, through the two golden pipes do something? They empty the golden oil out of what? Out of themselves. How many like to empty yourself out?
Amen.
Well, you can't do it unless you're full. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Unless you've got something within you. You can't give out unless you've got something in you. And you and I don't choose who we give out to. God chooses that, doesn't he? So let me say it this way. There are two golden pipes. There is the golden oil coming through those two golden pipes. And it is flowing into a golden candlestick. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Now, notice he said in verse 13, he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand somewhere by the Lord of the whole earth. And standing by the Lord means two things to me. It means probably a lot of things to other people. But it means no religious or fleshly activity. They're waiting on the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many believe God's bringing the people to a place they'll not move without the Holy Ghost?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, let me sum it this way and say who these are, according to the Scriptures. They're the two olive trees. What does olive tree bring forth or bear? Olive oil. Isn't that right? Olive oil, type of the Holy Spirit. Or they are the two olive branches. Or they are the double portion ministry on the left and on the right. Or they are the two witnesses in Revelation. They are the two prophets. Or it's the Spirit and the Word ministering to people. Or it is what the Hebrew says, they are sons of oil. I may believe God's raising some sons full of oil. Hallelujah. Sons of oil. Everybody say it as you will. Sons of oil. Now go to Job 29. Let's look at this oil here. Job 29. Praise you, Lord. Job 29. I thought I was through ministering, Brother Miller. Job 29. Look at verse 1. How many has ever thought of the bygone days behind, of the good times? Well, Job's doing that. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in months past. You ever wish you lived 2 or 3 years back? As in the day. Well, some good things and some things not so good. I know some things I wouldn't want to go back to. I believe there's some things I've come through and I don't want to go through them again, thank the good Lord. As I've said before, I believe I'm coming out of the wilderness. So I don't go back into some places I've been, Jack. Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God did something, preserve me. Well, He can preserve us in 1988 and 89, can't He? Verse 3, notice, when His candle, this is the light of God, the revelation, the illumination of God, shined upon my head. Hallelujah. I mean, we need some light on our head, on our soul. A lot of it. And when by His light, notice this, when by His light, that's the word, I walk through something. Darkness. Next verse. As well as His revelation. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God, this is the mysteries of God, was upon my tabernacle, upon my home, my margin says, but how many know we're the tabernacle? When the Almighty was yet with me, He still is. When my children were about me, well, Job did lose his children, but how many know God restored? I mean, I've never had to go through that, and I hope I never have to. But verse 6, when I wash my steps with something.
Butter.
That's the strong word, yes. Hallelujah. When I wash, that's his walk life. Wash with a strong word. When I wash my steps with butter, then something happened. The rock, which is Christ, poured me out rivers of oil. Hallelujah. So as we walk in a strong word, and especially in obedience to the word, God will pour out something. Rivers of oil. Amen. And out of your belly is going to flow what? Rivers. Living waters. One time I was preaching and I got so excited I said, livers of living water. The liver. Rivers. And then if you go to verse 7, you'll see the authority, the ministry, and government there. But we won't go into that. So Job said there was coming, the rock was going to pour out rivers of oil as he walked in, washed his steps with butter. Praise God. And we know Jesus partake of honey and butter that he might discern that which is good from that which is evil. Amen? Isaiah 7 tells us that. Now let's go a little further here. Turn to another scripture. Turn to Psalms 104. Let's look at this oil here. Praise God. Psalms 104, verse 15 and 16. 104, 15 and 16. Notice, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man. I mean, wine speaks of many things. It can speak of the blood, but it speaks of joy, too. Wine that makes glad the heart of man. How many like to feel that joy bubbling up inside? Yes. And oil to make his face to shine.
How
many know that Stephen's face shone? There in chapter what? Acts 6 or 7? His face shone. Praise the Lord. And yet as an angel. And yet when he looked up, he saw the Lord, didn't he? What was the Lord doing? He was standing, wasn't he? Watching the scene. Hallelujah. And yet all to make his face to shine. Oh, that's the countenance, isn't it? Glory be to God. You don't have to ask somebody if they're happy if they got that glow on their face. Amen. Hallelujah. What else? And bread, the word, which will strengthen man's heart. So we need joy. We need the anointing. And we need the bread. Glory be to God. And notice next verse, verse 16. And the trees of the Lord, that you and me, are full of sap. Not sap suckers. Remember that. Sap. Glory to God. The cedars of Lebanon that he has planted. And those cedars go deep. Those roots, and they go tall, grow tall. And they have a good smell. Amen? God wants us to go down, brethren. Hallelujah. If you go down, how many know he's going to raise us up? And you'll have a good smell. I was sitting in Brother and Sister Miller's home the other night, and I smelled that sweet fragrance. Hallelujah. Just come across there as we were talking, just for a second or two there. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So, he said we're to be full of sap. We're to be full of life. Praise be unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, turn over to another scripture with me, if you will. Turn to Psalms 23. Let's look at this. Let's look at this oil. Familiar scripture. I know we all know, but let's look at it. Sometimes we think we know some things, and sometimes we don't always know as much as we think. At least I don't. Chapter 23. Hallelujah. How many know in these next few chapters, we're dealing with a cross, we're dealing with a crook and a crown, somebody said. Now, in chapter 23, David said, he restoreth in verse 3, my what? What is your soul? It's your mind, your will, emotions, and desires. He restores my soul, and then he leads me and so forth in the paths of righteousness. Verse 5, look at verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Did you notice that? Anybody want a table spread? How many know your enemies are going to be right there watching? Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup's going to run over. Now, let's look at this word anoint here. Turn with me now. We were talking about oil. Turn to Proverbs 11. Let's look at the same word. Chapter 11 of Proverbs. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11, and look at verse 24, I believe it is. I didn't write. Oh, I'm in Psalms, yes. Proverbs 11. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increases. Now, in our natural mind, we think if we scatter something, we're going to lose it. Isn't that right? And yet he said, there is that that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that that withholds, and we think if I can just hold on to it, I'll have it, you know, and can keep it. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tends to poverty. Now, next verse. The liberal soul shall be made fat or anointed. Now, what soul is going to be anointed? The liberal soul. Hallelujah. What keeps us back from giving? Whether it be out of ourselves or time or talent or treasure. It's our soul. It's our will, isn't it? Hallelujah. The liberal soul shall be made fat or anointed. And he that watereth shall be watered himself. How many know we're going to reap what we sow? Now, look in chapter 13, verse 4. Let's look at this anointing here in verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. I mean, old lazy Christians are not going to get very far in God. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat or anointed. You got it. As Jack said this morning, there is a sovereignty of God and there is a part you and I play. Hallelujah. God will not fail, but many times we fail. Now look in verse chapter 15, verse 30. Notice here, the light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report. I mean, old Caleb and Joshua brought back a good report, didn't they? About the land. A good report maketh the bones anointed or fat. And there was so much anointing in Elisha's bones, how many know that, praise God, when they threw a dead man on top of him, he was resurrected. And Jeremiah said, his word is shut up in my bones like a fire. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that anointing penetrates. It goes through you. Amen. You got weak bones? Glory to be to God. Notice this verse again, what it says here. It said, a good report. Start giving a good report and you'll get your bones fat. You'll get your bones anointed. Next verse, another verse, chapter 28, verse 25. 28:25. It says here, 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife or fighting. That's pride, isn't it? But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made what? Fat or anointed. Put your trust in God. God will bring an anointing in your life and in my life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody said it this way. We've left the supper room and its fire to the... We have left the upper room with its fire to the supper room and its smoke. Well, that might be true. I don't know. Hallelujah. Let's turn over now. Look at some other things here that I've got. Let's go a little further here. Turn over to Numbers 14. Praise the Lord. Numbers 14. This anointing we're talking about. Verse 21. And notice what it said. But as truly as I live, and how many believe he lives today? Amen. All the earth. I believe it's this earth here as well as out there. But how many know it starts right here? But all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And I believe many who will not come under this anointing in this hour, God will remove. I believe we need to come under more of that anointing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And yet God said the whole earth is going to be filled with that anointing. Now turn to Habakkuk. Let's go look at one more scripture that says something like that on a little different. Habakkuk. We're looking at all these easy scriptures today. Chapter 2, verse 14. 2:14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge. I mean, need some knowledge today. With the knowledge of this glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then we go to Haggai. Haggai. Praise God. Chapter 2, I believe it is. And I know you can see this scripture in probably three different ways. But I'm just going to show you one way. Praise the Lord. In verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. A lot of things is happening today. People are blaming it on the devil. But I believe God's shaking, don't you? And I will shake what? All nations. That includes the United States. And it's being shaken. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I'm going to fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. God's speaking. God said it's going to happen. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts, whether it be the natural or the spiritual. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Now, notice he didn't say the house is going to be greater. He said the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place where the latter, latter glory is coming, will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, go over now to Hebrews chapter 3. Let's look at the former house. Look at the former half. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Now, I know you can look at the former and the latter at Pentecost and, you know, on this latter rain. You can look at the temples. There's different ways you can look at it. But just I want to just show you another way of the former and latter. Chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a high calling. It's a holy calling, isn't it? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession or confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him, that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful where? In all his house. How many know that's the house of Israel? For this man, Jesus, was counted more counted worthy of more glory than of Moses. Now, Jack talked about Moses today. Insomuch as he who hath builded the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house. How many know God's looking for faithfulness today?
Yeah.
You know, Paul in Ephesians and Colossians, he addresses the saints, and yet he addresses those who are faithful saints. So we can be a saint and not be faithful. But God's looking for the faithful, isn't he? Those that are with him, remember, are called, chosen, and faithful. Revelation 17:14. Moses verily was faithful in all of his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken after. But Christ, the Anointed One, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? Hallelujah. So this latter house is going to be filled with more glory. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I want to be part of it, don't you? Amen. Now, let me give you seven ways how this anointing comes. Seven ways. Turn to Isaiah 58. How many believe it comes through fasting and prayer? Just one verse. Isaiah 58. Got on fasting a little yesterday, a couple of us. In Isaiah 58, look at verse 6. And God said, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" Now, we said yesterday, you can call a fast at times, but how many like it when God calls it?
Amen.
You sure? You can sure make it when God calls it, can't you?
Amen.
I've tried it before on my own and missed it. But I can make it when he calls it. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here it is. To loose the bands of wickedness. How many know that's bands around your own head? If you get yours loose, how many know you can loose somebody else's without anointing? And what else? To undo the heavy burdens. Sometimes we walk under burdens we don't have to. Amen? And three, notice, and let the oppressed go free. That's deliverance, isn't it? That's deliverance. Oh, well, it all is. And that you and me, break every yoke. So fasting pays off. So first of all, we need those bands broken in our life. We need to lift those heavy burdens from off of us. And those of us who have walked under oppression, we need to go free. And we need to break every yoke because of that anointing when you and I fast. Now, we don't just go and fast for power. We fast because we love the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Our motives must be correct.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And remember what I told you yesterday. Fasting means this. Fasting means to cover them out. Not just by what you eat, but what you say. And how many know the more you fast and pray, the less you say about others? God begins to set a guard over your mouth, doesn't he? God begins to put a check in you and me. Come on, so help me say amen.
Amen.
So number one, the anointing comes by fasting. Number two, Hebrews 1, verse 7 through 9. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy what? Kingdom. Now look at verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness or iniquity. And because of that, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Hallelujah. So as Jesus hated iniquity and loved righteousness,
If you and I follow that same pattern, I want to tell you, you will have an anointing in your life.
Yes.
And I will have an anointing in my life. Now turn to Psalms 103. Let's look at another way that we come in to this anointing. How many know that God wants us to come together in unity here? God wants unity in the church. Amen?
Yes.
Look at verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for who? Brethren, to dwell together in unity. In unity. And he said, when you come and dwell together in unity, it's like something. It's like the anointing, the precious ointment upon the what? Head. How many believe Jesus was anointed on his head and on his feet? And we know he's the head today of the church. And we know we're the feet. The same anointing on the head is coming down to the feet. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Psalms 133.
That's where I'm at. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Glenn. Psalms 133. Thank you. Psalms 133. Forgive me. Let's read it again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Notice, dwell together. Dwell together in what? Unity. If there's no unity, there's no togetherness. And yet we can be together and not be together. Amen? How many has ever been in a meeting you know that they wouldn't together? No, I've been a lot of them. Verse 2. Now notice what this unity is like. He said it's like this precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard. That speaks of maturity, doesn't it? I mean, believe God's maturing some sons in this hour with that anointing that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, come all the way down to the feet. Oh, hallelujah. A barefoot priest. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, there the Lord commands the blessing, even life forevermore. So when brethren come together in unity, and that ointment is present. God said, I've commanded a blessing, which is life forevermore. Now, we know that unity, is not just in the head. Now, not that it's wrong, but unity has to be in the heart. Just as the dew of Hermon, he mentions here, is coming down, that dew had to come down into the vegetation, get down into it, and cause it to grow. And that dew has to get in you and me, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And cause us to grow. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
And we know that the dew falls, it falls very gently. How many know we can cause the Holy Ghost to take its flight, brethren? He comes gently. Hallelujah. You can't hear it fall, but you can see the results of it, can't you? Glory to God. Now, it's cooling and it's refreshing to the earth when it comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It falls in a dark hour. But it doesn't fall in the time of storm, does it? When things are still and quiet. Amen. When the heat of the earth dies down, the dew comes. And it causes the vegetation to grow. I want to tell you that dew will cause you and me to grow.
Yeah.
Oh, and there is a continual coming to the earth of the dew.
Yeah.
And over again, we need a daily experiences with the Holy Ghost as we seek Him. Amen. And it just falls profusely. And you know the manna couldn't come without the dew.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And God had to do something that weather out there in the wilderness, because every day they went and gathered manna except on the Sabbath. So God had to do supernaturally, something supernatural in the weather, didn't He? For that dew to come every morning. Praise God.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, they had dew in Egypt, but they didn't have the manna. It took the wilderness to get the supernatural, didn't it? How many know you and I are going to get the supernatural in the wilderness? Come on, help me now. Praise the Lord. So number one, we get this anointing by fasting. Number two, we get it by hating iniquity. Number three, we get it by unity. Now, David's writing this psalm, and how many know that there was no unity in David's family? God said, the sword will not depart from your household. Isn't that right? And yet here's a man writing on unity. How many believe there's a cross going, well, there's a horizontal cross and a vertical horizontal bar and a vertical bar on the cross. And you know, if our relationship's right with God, I mean, we'll dwell together in unity. And we'll have that anointing. Praise God. Number four, the fourth thing, obedience will bring the anointing. Turn to Acts 5. Obedience. And God is looking for obedience in us. Acts 5:32. You know, the Bible said if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Do you know you can be obedient and really not be willing? Of course, you won't go too far, I'll tell you. Acts 5:32. And we are his what? Witnesses. That's the third time we've seen that. Of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Somebody said, well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost years ago. Well, thank God for that. But what about today? Are we obeying God today? Obedience brings down the anointing in our life. And so God gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey him. Praise be unto God. And then number six, we saw this while ago, the liberal soul shall be made fat or anointed. And so as you're liberal and as you give out of yourself and your time, your talent, your treasure, God will anoint you. I believe that with all my heart. Now, let's look at one more. Turn to 1 Samuel 16. Let's see how this anointing comes also. 1 Samuel chapter 16, I believe it is. Praise the Lord. And look at verse 23. How many believe there's a difference in talent and the anointing? I've heard singers sing. They had a good talent. And yet I've heard singers sing that had an anointing. I've heard people play that had a talent. And I've heard people play with the anointing. I've heard preachers could preach. But I've heard preachers under an anointing. Hallelujah. And so we need the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 23. Now, the next way the Holy Spirit comes is through worship. And notice you're talking about deliverance. Here it is. It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So by this anointed playing or worshiping before God, that evil spirit lifted from Saul. And I want to tell you, worship will lift the evil spirits off of you. Come on, say amen. Now look back to verse 18 now. Let's look at this man, David, here. Look at this verse here now. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse. And how many know he was the eighth son, which speaks of resurrection life, new beginnings. The Bethlehemite, and that means the house of bread. He comes from the house of bread. That is cunning. Number one, notice he's cunning in playing. That means he's skillfully. I believe everything we should do unto the Lord and do it good, don't you? He was skillfully. He was a cunning in playing. And number two, he was a mighty, valiant man and a man of war. And we're going to see in this end time some men and women of war being raised up. Hallelujah. Not to fight each other, but to fight the enemy. Can you say amen? And notice what else he was. He was prudent. That word prudent means eloquent. He was intelligent. It means perception, or he understands, or he's wise in matters. And something else, he was comely. That means beautiful or attractive. David was a good-looking man. Hallelujah. But notice what else. And the Lord is with him. I mean, if the Lord's with you, you're going to have an anointing. Hallelujah. The Lord is with him. And when he played, that evil spirit lifted. Praise God. Now I want to give you one other scripture, how that anointing comes. Of course, there's many ways, but let's look at one more. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. And this is a big one. Proverbs chapter 1. And look at verse 23. Hallelujah. It's a promise of God. We're dealing with simple ones or simplicity here. But in verse, there's so much in chapter 1, but look at verse 23. Turn you, God says, at my reproof. That's God's correction. That's God's discipline in our life. Behold, God said, if you do that, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. So as we come under the discipline, the correction, and the reproof of God, God promises he will pour out his Spirit upon us. Can you say amen? Now go over to chapter 13. This is one of Irma's favorite scriptures, I think, now. 13:18, and I love it because when she gave it here before, I used it several times lately. But I love it. Look at it. 13:18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. But he that regards what? Reproof or correction shall be honored, but he'll be anointed too, won't he? That's what we just read. Now look back in chapter 13 just a minute. Look back here just a minute. Look in verse, let's see here. There's another scripture I want to give you in this chapter, if I can find it. Okay, verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word, well, I mean, oh, the word reproves us. It corrects us. It brings discipline. Whoso despiseth the word shall be what? Destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Now, let me show you what happens. Let me show you what happens when we reject the word speaking to us, whether it be speaking to us just as we read it, or when somebody's ministering. Turn to 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want to tell you three things before I read those scriptures. How many know that Samson shook himself and he found out there was no anointing left? You know why? Because he laid in the lap of the harlot. And she cut off his locks. He told her his secrets. And he lost the anointing. Isn't that right? They put out his eyes, and of course they had him grinding at the mill and so forth, and yet God restored. God is a restorer. Thank God for that. Amen? Now here and let me say three other things before I go any further here. When we begin to lose the anointing, let me tell you three things that we quit doing. Just simple truths. Number one, we quit praying. We quit praying. We get too busy. Number two, the Word of God quits speaking to us like it used to. How many know it takes the rhema upon this Word here to speak to us? And three, we quit fellowshipping one another as we should. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship not only with God, but with each other. Isn't that right? And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can begin to let that anointing slip. Samson was deceived. He thought he could go out and shake himself as other times, and yet he did. And he wished not the Spirit had departed from him. Amen. Now, chapter 36. Look at verse 15 and 16. Here God's sending the prophets. It could be an apostle, it could be a teacher, an evangelist, a pastor, it could be just a saint. Verse 36, verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, that word means early, and sending because he had something. He had compassion on his people. Why does God send the prophets? Because of his compassion. When does God send the prophets? It's just simply this, when your wall's crooked. When you need some help. Amen? And on his what? Dwelling place. Who's the dwelling place today? You and I. Next verse. Notice what they did when the prophets came. But they mocked the messengers of God. How many old people still do that? Number two, they despised his words. Notice his words. And three, they misused his prophets. Amen. Until, which is a time word, the wrath of the Lord arose against his people until there was no remedy. And that word remedy means no healing. How many know that when you come against the ministry that God sends and you won't receive the word, it will stop your healing. And you lay hands on people till every hair on the head's rubbed off it, can't you? And you pour all kind of oil on the head. Huh? Come on, help me now. But it says right here, until there was no remedy, no healing. And I believe there are many today in the church that's not healed because of these three things right here. Mocking and despising and misusing God's servants, whoever they may be. Turn to Jeremiah
17, I believe it is, or 18. Just a couple more scriptures here. We'll go to about 4:30 probably. I got so much more, but I never get it all out. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And before we read that, how many know that that anointing oil in the Old Testament was not to be put on man's flesh? God never anoints your flesh, does He? Amen. And two, it was not to be put on a stranger. That's a foreigner. How many know we're to know those that are labor among us as well? And number three, it could not be imitated, this anointing, because it would be death otherwise. So it was not to be put on man's flesh. You know, when the dove went out there of the boat, when Noah sent the raven out in the dove, the raven didn't come back, but the dove did. It refused to land on dead flesh. It came back, didn't it? And you know, it had an olive leaf in its mouth off the olive tree, which produces olive oil. And he was, of course, the dove's the type of the Holy Ghost. And how many Noah reached out and brought him into his bosom? And you and I have to reach out. Come on now, help me. Receive the Holy Ghost into our bosom. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. But He's not going to land on dead flesh. He's not going to land on a stranger. Amen? He cannot be imitated. Amen? It's got to be the real. Come on. We don't want false fire or strange fire. We want the true fire, don't we? Hallelujah. And you know, in the New Testament, those six or seven men they chose over there in Acts, you remember that? They waited on tables. They had to be filled with the Holy Ghost just to wait on tables. And I believe everything we do in the household of God, we need to be anointed, don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And that word stranger there was not to be put on a stranger. It's in Exodus 30 where that's mentioned. That word, though, means a stranger, but it means also, it's the word strange, you know, where, you remember when the sons of Aaron brought forth the strange fire there? And then God killed. You remember that? It's the same word. That word stranger means strange. And God has told us in Proverbs 2:16 and chapter 7, verse 5 about the strange woman. I mean, that's the type of the harlot, Jezebel. So we need the true anointing to give us some discernment from the stranger, don't we? From Jezebel. Come on, help me now. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you some more about this. This word stranger means a foreigner. It means strange, it means profane, and it means to commit adultery. It means a strange woman, and it means to come from another man. That's what it means. And yet God said that anointing was not to be on flesh or a stranger, cannot be imitated. Now look here in chapter 18 of Jeremiah. God's redoing this prophet, taking him down to the potter's house. I may believe every one of us probably are going to be used different than what we thought at one time. And this vessel is going to be the vessel God wants us to be, not what you and I want. And yet we'll see all of this. And look at verse 5. Well, God tells him in verse 2, rise and go down to the potter's house. And God said, I'm going to cause you to hear my words down at the potter's house. And he saw the potter working on the wheel. That word wheel means a midwife stool. Something's going to be born. How you believe God's bringing some sons forth that's going to be born? Come on, help me now. And you're probably maybe at the potter's wheel right now. God's reshaping and remolding you and me. And then the word comes to Jeremiah in verse 5. But come on up down to verse. Come on down to verses 18 now. Let's see verse 18. Then said they, this is the people of God, come and let us devise devices against who? The prophet. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Then they said, come and let us smite him with the tongue. How many know you can kill a person with your tongue? And let us not give heed to any of his words. All right, if we do that, how many know it's going to stop the healing? Come on now. Going to bring us to poverty and shame. Isn't that right? These were not Jeremiah's words. These were in verse 5 it said, it's the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Hallelujah. So what am I saying? I'm saying to you, brethren, God is anointing you. He's anointing me. But let us have an open heart to God. Amen. Let us receive the ministries God sends into our lives as well. Amen. Praise God. So let's make sure that we stay under that precious anointing. Praise be unto God. So he said, I'm going to give you power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. We're his witnesses. We're witnesses unto him. Amen. We're martyrs unto him. Hallelujah. How many love him today?
Amen.
Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you. We thank you today for that precious Holy Spirit, all that indwells us, that you sent, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we believe that that anointing is arising in this end time upon this great army, Lord. Hallelujah. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by thy Spirit, saith the Lord. And so, Lord, I just ask you that you move upon your people in this hour as we seek thy face. Lord, not to try to work something up, but that you work something in. And that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, we walk softly before you today, Lord. We humble our hearts before you today, Lord. We are a needy people today, Lord Jesus. Have mercy, have compassion upon us. And God, I pray today, oh, if there be one in this service today that has lost their healing or their deliverance because they have rejected thy word. And as they cry out today, Lord, that there will be forgiveness and there will be a cleansing and there will be a deliverance in their life. Mighty God, look down upon us and have compassion upon us today and anoint us, Lord. Let our feet be anointed with your oil, Lord. Let our walk life please thee. Let our walk life be in a strong word with butter, Lord, as Job said. And pour out rivers of oil upon us, Lord. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you.